like you to know that he wore a tie today, and he wants you to notice. Okay. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay, kids, get your coffee. Come on in. 4 minutes is up. Let's go. The kids are out of here. It's now become a PG-rated service. Heather's always the last one to come in, you know. And the older people, they kind of tend to use the excuse that they can't hear, you know. I know they can hear, okay. I didn't say old, notice, okay. I said older. That's it, Crystal. Go get them. Look at... Hallelujah. Come on in, kids. You might miss something. No, we won't, John. It's just you preaching. Come on, Mikey. Don't get distracted. Get right in here. Come on in. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. That's it, Earl. You're pointing in the right direction. That's right. Christine, Carol, Heather, let's go. It's like herding cats. Hey, the longer you take out there, the longer I'm going to preach. Okay, I guess they want to stay heel tier one, you know. I mean, what can I say? Come on, Sue. Allison. Let's go. Okay, I'm going to open in prayer. And when I open my eyes, hopefully everybody in here. Okay? I know you people that are here, you know, I know what you're thinking. Will you get on with it? Come on. I know. I hear you. Okay? Father, we love you, God. We love you. Jesus, would you please bring your word alive today? Lord, they're stuck with John Council this morning. So, God, you got to come through, Lord. And Jesus, you've got some just life-altering things to say, God, if your spirit can do his work like he wants to. So please, now, will you remove the restrictions, any restrictions that are here, God? Lord, will you bring down every stronghold, Lord, that would stop you from doing everything you want to do in the next half hour or so in this room, God, in the name of Jesus, amen. I am the life. Well, of course it's Easter. Of course he's going to speak of the resurrection. I don't really like doing seasonal messages, you know, because everybody's expecting that. And I don't like being different for being different sake, but God gave me some thoughts and some ideas on this that I've never really shared before. And, I kind of like messages where, okay, God, you better come through, because if you're not going to come through, I'm going to be misunderstood, and we could be towing a dangerous line here, because that makes me depend on the Lord. John 11:25. Let's get it going here, see if it's working. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. He didn't say, I raise the dead. Okay, notice that. We like him to do things for us, don't we? You got your list? Here's what I want you to do for me, God. It's what I want you to do. He didn't say I raised the dead. He didn't even say, now, he did intimate in other times that he was going to rise from the dead, but this is a different phrase here. And there's no words that are here by accident. I am the life. We like him to do things for us. Here's a phrase I want you to remember. It's a little awkward, but I want you to remember it. He is more than he does. Have you got that? I am the life. He is more than he does. You'll never grow in your relationship with the risen Christ if you can't grasp the meaning of that line. And that's a little bit of a difficult line. You have to pray about that. You have to think about that a little bit. Okay? He is more than he does. He's the risen Savior. Sure, he does things all the time. He holds the whole universe together. But he draws us into a relationship with him. He doesn't want us to, he'd want us thinking of him as, yeah, he's out there running the universe and he doesn't care about me and he's got his own agenda and it doesn't include me. That's not Jesus. He is. He is, and he wants us to bring us into who he is. And if we can ever get over, well, he just does. If we can ever cross that line into he is, and we can be intimate with him, and we can realize how much he is, that we actually begin trusting him with what he does. You know what's going to happen? As crazy as it sounds, what he does is not going to be as meaningful as who he is. And he has that, he desires that from all of us. I am the life. Martha knew his power. Okay? Martha knew all about his power. Familiar with him. Knew who he was. Okay? Lazarus dies and she says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Okay? He knows what he can do. Okay? But he also knows, she also knows who Christ is. Did she really know him though? Because she got really upset when Mary was sitting at his feet just interacting with him while she was ministering and busy with many things. And Jesus, because there's nothing wrong with ministering for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with doing things for him. But Jesus said, it's more important that you know me than you do stuff for me. Mary has chosen what is better. Mary was doing nothing except interacting with Jesus in Luke 10. You can look it up. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Okay? All she's doing is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him and talking to him. And Martha, she's got like the Easter dinner dishes, man. I mean, or whatever. She's cleaning the house. It's a mess. It's total. I mean, it never gets clean because Mary's the kind that kind of just sits around. Okay? But Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some of us are, thank God for Martha's in the church. Okay? But according to Jesus, and I didn't say this, he did. Mary chose the better thing. He is more than he does. He is risen. Okay, that's the line, right? That's important too. He is. Remember Bill Clinton? Well, that depends on what your definition of the word is, okay? Well, this is huge here. I'll tell you why. Because he didn't say he was risen. He said he is risen. Okay, he is risen. Why is it is instead of was? Because he didn't die again. He's still alive. Anybody who says and does the things that he did, okay, you know, if he would have died and after, would have meant nothing. But the whole world's been transformed. Your life has been transformed. And all of the rules have been thrown out of whack because he's still alive. That means he's still out there. That means he's still listening. That means he's still got an agenda that is not fulfilled yet. And usually when we hear an Easter message like he is risen, a typical, now we wouldn't come out and say this, but this is how we feel. Great, he's risen. I need a genie. I could always wanted one, okay? And just rub the Bible, get the right prayer, and I get whatever I want, okay? People treat Jesus like a genie. Or they got these, you got those promise boxes. You ever seen those things? You ever seen those? Anybody got a promise box? You know what I'm talking about? Put your hand up if you know what I'm talking about. I go, one person, two people, three, okay, and they're all about my age, okay, or a little older, okay? The rest of you, they used to, huh? Or younger, yeah, well, Christine is. She's the only one. Promise boxes were, Christine, 40 years ago, just about everybody had one, didn't they? Okay? A promise box was this little box that was shaped like a loaf of bread, because he's the bread of life, you know? And then there was the scripture on the outside. And like, before you ate, you know, if you had grace, you'd pull out a promise, and there's a scripture. Well, the scripture for today, and we'd all think that was wonderful. Some people, that's the only word of God that they read was the promise box. And we used to kid around that you got promise box Christianity because it's so superficial and so shallow. You don't know who Jesus is. It's like a, promise boxes are really like fortune cookies. Okay. They're like Christian fortune cookies. Nobody in their right mind opens up a fortune cookie. Whoa, I got to change my whole life, you know, because this is a fortune cookie, you know, and the kind of promise box had the same thing. That's because they've got this image of what that Jesus does instead of Jesus is. He's not a vending machine, a cosmic vending machine where you put the prayer in and out comes, you know, I saw a funny thing on the internet the other day. I know there's a God because I pushed the button and two old Henry bars came out of the vending machine. Hallelujah! You know? He's more than that. He is. He just doesn't do. Do we know what he can do? Or do we know him? And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. It's not getting into the details of what we want or what he can do. The emphasis is on the power of the Holy Spirit coming into your life and being so much more powerful and altering your perspective. I got to confess something. Every time Jesus has altered his perspective in my life, my perspective, every time he's revealed his greatness in my life, I have often felt kind of stupid of my perception of Jesus and what it was after. I often felt, I looked back at my life and I got, oh man, you know, I journal. I got 30, how many years now? I got 33 years of journaling in 8 volumes. I read some of my early journals and I'm embarrassed. Oh my goodness, why couldn't I have gotten through to that guy? And I will not alter them and I will not change them because I want Ellie and Maverick and Violet and whoever else is coming, I want them to know Jesus and I want them to have a record of how stupid and arrogant and sinful and obnoxious their grandpa was. And hopefully they will be able to say, but God used him, so God can use me too. God didn't turn his back on him, so he's not going to turn his back on me either, okay? This is not about what he can do. And most of my concept of God for the first half of my life, okay, was what he can do for me, you know? He's my thing. Oh, I learned the language because I was brought up in a Pentecostal church of, you know, Jesus for all and all that stuff. But really, I knew what was going on in my heart, okay? I didn't know back then. I didn't know until God started showing me things. John, you've been hiding this, but you can't fool me, John. Okay? You say it's this, but I know. And you know what the greatest thing about God revealing things? He never turns his back on you. He never gives up on you. He doesn't rebuke you. He doesn't pound you. He kind of says, come here, I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm kind of afraid of how it's done. And I felt the Lord causing me to pray, God, help me not to be afraid. Help me not to be afraid of what it means to really know you. Help cast out the fear. And I guess his spirit must have been there in some way because I wouldn't pray like that because I'm a chicken, okay? There's a lot of things I don't pray. You know, I pray something, I go, whoop, yeah, if I pray that, that means he can do this, 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 you know? And I'm telling you, we don't know who God is until there's real surrender in our lives. And I don't think anybody in this room has ever fully surrendered, but that's the pathway that brings life. That's the pathway that unlocks the meaning of knowing God. That's the pathway to the power of the Holy Spirit, surrender. Surrender. All of us think we have God figured out. I like that Jewish proverb. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. We say, seek the giver, not the gift. You know what? Some of you are not going to be able to handle this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit's going to like make it real to you. Okay? The giver is the gift. Yeah. The giver is the gift. I mean, that's all I get? You know what? If you're thinking that, you don't really know Jesus yet. That's not a condemnation. I'm telling you. In fact, that's a positive thing because he will blow your mind. He will blow your mind. But you got to stop thinking about what he can do for you and who he is. Who he is. I don't know him like he can be known. Because Paul knew him like he could be known. And he went down his list of accomplishments and blessing and he said, that is garbage in Philippians 3:8. Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, not knowing what he can do, just knowing who he is, okay? He is way more than he does. If you really have Christ, if you really, really have Christ, what else is there? Oh, I got a new job. I got a new relationship. I got this. I got... You can't really say that unless you know Christ. I don't even know Christ yet like I know he can be known, but I know enough to know, yep, I believe that. I think that's really true. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, it says through Christ, in Christ, okay? It's through Christ, the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. And what's that eternal life in? What's it through? It's through Jesus. Okay? If you really have Christ in you, heaven has already started. Okay? You're not waiting for Jesus to come. It's already started. You've taken the eternal Christ into everything in our life with Christ has a counterfeit, though. It does. Real biblical Christianity, there's churchianity. For real repentance, there's false repentance. There's false conversion. There's false confession. There's false zeal. There's false love. There's even counterfeit life. You know what it's called? Hype. Okay? Oh, man, we love hype in the Christian church, especially in North America. Hype, 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 hype. Oh, you hype everywhere, you know? Oh, it's going to be the greatest. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Abundant life, you know, and all you're getting is abundant hype. Okay? Many followers the followers of Christ confuse good feelings for the life that Jesus says he is. Okay? They think that life is good feelings. Yeah, there's good feelings. They come. But that life is not dependent on what's going on. That life is more powerful than you think it is. That life is there when everything is falling apart. And you know it's well with your soul. There's no life outside of him, according to Colossians. Everything outside of him is headed for death. When we know Christ, we know life. He is not only risen, he is the resurrection. Because he said, not only did he rise, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He bore the scars after he rose. Oh, Jesus will take all your scars away and make everything right. Really? Guy rose from the dead and he's still got scars at his side. He's still got scars at his head. I thought Jesus heals all the wounds. Yeah, he does. But there's a very strong biblical case that some scars remain. You know why? Because they remind us of how powerful Jesus really is. I remember the pain. It's gone. I remember what I went through. He was faithful. I remember he carried me through. And another purpose for God not taking scars away. There's nothing will authenticate your authority like marks, like scars. You know? Here's a really cool scene in the Cross and the Switchblade movie, starring Pat Boone and Eric Estrada. Oh, it's a cheesy movie, but it wasn't bad, you know, for the low budget. And the Mau Maus, and I forget what the other, I think it was the Bishops. Yeah, the Bishops and the Mau Maus, they got this big fight going on in the Bronx. And there's this guy that's always mouthing off about how tough he is. He doesn't know the life of the gang. He's got the hype down. Oh, he knows the hype. And he's talking about how he beat up everybody and how, because they're all at the clubhouse recovering. There's broken bones. There's scars. People are getting stitched up by, like, you know, like not by doctors because they can't afford it, I guess. And it's really a mess. Not even a PG rated movie. It's a pretty tough scene. Okay. And they're all beat up and there's blood and everything. And this guy's going around talking about how he, you know, beat everybody up and everything. And one of them says to him, really? Where's your scars? Guy rolls up his leg and shows a little scraped knee, you know? Right here, right here. And the rest of them could hardly move. But this guy's got such a big mouth about how great he was with no scars that they end up beating him up. Worse than the rest of the guys. Okay? You ever talk to people that always, if things always go right for them? You know, they get all their prayers answered. They live in wonderful homes, have wonderful families. You know, they're never behind in their bills. You ever talk to people like that? I don't like hanging around people like that. They're the most superficial people in the world. Okay? You know? I like hanging around you guys. Some of you guys got some. And here you are. Here you are, trusting Jesus. Here you are, following the Lord. I would suggest you got more than just a decent church to go to. I would suggest that you're cluing into who he is and not just what he does. When we know Christ, we have life. No battle, no victory. No pain, no gain. Got to pay your dues, okay? Well, here's something to think about, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will reveal this to you, because I can't communicate this like it should be communicated, okay? You know the line, you got to pay your dues. He paid your dues. Okay, if he paid my dues, where'd that leave me? Just to follow him. Follow him and realize he is not going to let go of you. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have disappointment. Okay? And if he allows a disappointment and trouble in your life, it's only because he wants to work things together for the good. Now, his timeline and his calendar drives us crazy, okay? I mean, I'm one of those guys that have gone to a wall and banged my head into the wall because of his, well, with me, it was not banging my head on the wall as much as sucking carpet, okay? I mean, down on my face before God and just weeping because it wasn't in his timeline. And if I could go back to those years when I was stressing out because I didn't know what he was doing, you know what I would have told myself? John, you know it up here, but you don't know it down here. You got to trust God. He really does love you more than you could ever dream. You got to trust him. Okay? He's taken us to that place anyway. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. What happens when you die? You can't defend yourself anymore. You can't make it better anymore. You're hopeless. You're useless. You're dead. That's a spiritual sense. I don't want anybody to think, oh, I went to a sermon and, anyway. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The life that is Christ, okay, the life that Christ is, only takes root in our lives when there is death. That's why the epistles say, crucify the flesh. We're dead to sin. That's why we stop having our way. We're dead to our will. That's why Jesus, the last struggle in the garden, if there's any way I can get out of this, no, you have your will. That's where the real death took place at Easter time, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he surrendered. When he surrendered. Yeah, it was painful. Yeah, he was tortured to death. But the inner will to hang on until it was totally finished, and he declared it so, was because he paid that price in full surrender right there. Okay? In the garden. You have your will. There's two types of people in the world. They're the ones that say, thy will be done. And there's the bunch to whom God says, okay, have it your way. And whenever we have it our way, it may even be a good way, but it is never what he is. It is never his way. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily, Paul says. What's he talking about there? He knows that by living according to his will in his flesh, he's not going to walk in that relationship with Christ. And he's walked in Jesus enough that it gets easier as you walk in Jesus. The Holy Spirit starts doing things because he is. Okay? And when he's recognized for who he is, it frees him to do what he can do. He wants us to know who he is. And here's that scripture he's talking about. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires, greed, which is idolatry. There's nobody in this room that's conquered these things in their life. But this room is filled with people who have realized, this is going to kill me. So I'm going to take that cross, what is going to kill me, and I'm going to follow Jesus with it. There is nothing, and even if I keep failing, there is nothing that's going to stop me from pursuing Christ. Because outside of him and who he is, I have no hope whatsoever. None. None. I've known people that have given up on Christ because they couldn't conquer some of these things. Okay? Now, I've known other people who have been powerfully delivered. You know why they got powerfully delivered? Because they kept following Jesus in spite of it. Everybody wants push button, immediate answers to prayer right away. I wish it went on that way. And it goes on that way enough for me to believe for that kind of stuff. But for the rest of us, it can be a tough, long slug. Marilyn Ladke. Heather knows who Marilyn Ladke is. I think Ben remembers her. Marilyn Ladke was one of those gentle, humble souls I ever knew. Okay? Loved Jesus. Had a little 6-year-old boy who died of cancer. Scarred her. She was never the same. Okay? And when my boys were little, they owned a computer shop in Brandon. And my boys reminded her of her son that had died. They were about 5 or 6. And they were forever loading us up with computer software. I mean, I'll bet they gave us thousands of dollars worth of computer software. You know? It was the 90s, so it wasn't anything special. But back then, it cost a lot of money. You remember that, okay? Stuffed animals. I remember they had a dinosaur program with a disc that came with a little baby dinosaur. I think that's still in the family. I think one of my grandkids has got it, okay? Marilyn Lackey could never stop smoking. Okay? We prayed for her. She hated it. She couldn't give it up. You can't tell me she's not in heaven, okay? She just couldn't give it up, okay? But she was out to church all the time. She'd pray for anybody. She'd do anything. She had all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, okay? Broke our hearts when we found out that she died, okay? Some of these things, I don't know if these things, some of them, it's not, I can't conquer these things in my life, okay? But Jesus can, okay? And I boast about my weaknesses here, and I make myself accountable. A lot of you guys know, I've had personal talks with you. You know the things I'm struggling with, okay? And we keep pursuing Jesus together. We keep encouraging each other along the way. Why? Why? Because we know who Jesus is. We know He forgives, we know He loves, we know He's merciful. We know in the Word that He never turns away anybody. We know that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The only people that lose are like the rich man who says he turned away because he had great wealth. It wasn't his wealth, it was the turning away. We need to know who He is. Because if you know who He is, you can get through absolutely anything. And we literally untie His hands for the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives like He wants it to. You can't have Christ's resurrection power. Listen, you cannot have Christ's resurrection power without the imprint of death on your life. Okay? Because that resurrection power didn't happen without death, His death. And it doesn't happen in our life without death. We symbolize it in water baptism. We go down to death and we are raised a life in Christ. Is that morbid? No, if you have life, it's not morbid at all. What happens if you try living for Christ without the imprint of death that I just talked about? Well, your confidence gets in the flesh and not in Jesus. You get good at it. You know how to play the game, you know? Nobody ever gets in there. Nobody ever really knows what's going on. And so it was with me, brothers, sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. That is the second most spiritual person in the New Testament writing that. Okay? Knew Christ better than anybody here. And look at his weaknesses. Can you see the marks of death on Paul? Can you see the humility? Can you see the transparency? Can you see the vulnerability? If we're so confident in Jesus, why are we so afraid to confess our weaknesses? Like you hear me flog almost every Sunday, okay? I will boast about my weaknesses so the cross is not emptied of its power. That's 2 Corinthians 12:9. The glory, the power, the excitement of the empty tomb cannot be separated from the passion and the majesty of the cross. In our lives, spiritual death eliminates self. You know, it's not a bad thing for, you know, to ask Jesus to help you with this, because He will. And when self is eliminated, all that remains is Christ. And He gives us life like it's described in Romans 8:11. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It's going to give you life. What are you stressed about? If you're stressed about something, you're battling something somewhere. Circumstances, we know this in our head, but God's trying to get it so we live like this. It's never the circumstances. It's how we respond to the circumstances. How do I know I've died? How do you know when you've died to self? Well, there's less chance of you thinking that you're right all the time. Okay? You probably feel a little weaker. Can't seem to make it through the hour without connecting with Christ somehow, through prayer or the Word. You break easy. You know? You're touched by other people's pain. Those are some signs. See, I haven't got there yet, but I've been noticing, you know? In people that I know have died to self, how they live, you know, and I kind of feel a little bit of that in my life. Things that are lost in death, because you're going to lose things in death. You are going to lose things. You're going to lose control. You're going to lose your will. And when that scares us, we don't like that. Why? Because we don't know how wonderful Jesus is. We don't know, we haven't known Him enough that we can trust Him yet, okay? Things that are lost in death get transformed. And they take on new forms because Christ has free reign to restore. You ever seen a caterpillar fighting to stay out of the cocoon? You know? Oh, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go in that cocoon. No, I don't want that cocoon. I'll miss the playoffs. You know, whatever, you know? No. They realize, gotta do this. And they're not even alive. They're not even a caterpillar. With the human, we're not even human or whatever. Here we go, spinning in that cocoon. And you know what comes after. Exodus 21:5. But if the servant declares, I love my master, my wife and children, do not want to go free. Then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or a doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. What are you bringing that up for? Because that servant allows himself to be marked. And when he's marked like that, he has authority in the household. He has brought on the marks of death to self. It's not my life anymore. I belong to my master. And the bond slaves had way more authority in the households than anybody else. Why? Because of their choice. Because of their choice. Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple. Now you could be a sinner saved by grace. He's not talking about sinners saved by grace here. He's talking about disciples. Followers of Christ. They're having an impact in their world. If you want to be my disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Why set my things on above? I was thinking about heaven the other day, you know, having a Lamborghini, a mansion, a tennis court, and then I laughed at myself. You stupid idiot. Okay? Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Why do I set my things on things above? Because of who he is. It's all Jesus. Where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you, look at there, for you died. And your life is now hidden in Christ. Now, what has to die in your life? What has to die in your life? Bob, Hal, Jean, Rich, can you come forward here? I want you to try and make sure that everybody's got a piece of paper here, okay? I need you guys forward to distribute some stuff for it. I know I didn't give you the heads up, but you're big man. You're mature. You can handle it. Colin and Ryan, can you give me a hand? Try and make sure everybody's got a piece of paper. If we run out, couples, share them, okay? Split it up with those guys. And yes, thank you. Okay, now, I want to get all the pens out of the back. And women, you usually have pens that you can share. I'm going to ask you to do something, okay? I'm going to ask you to do something. You listening? This is not just a crowd breaker exercise here, okay? I think God could do something powerful if we can kind of go along with this. You ready? Who needs a pen? You don't need to start writing anyway because you don't know what to write yet, okay? We may not have all the papers covered, but, you know, do your best. There's more paper. Who doesn't have a paper? Make sure Ben's got a paper at the back there. He's going to want to fill this out, okay? This is serious stuff. Okay, you got a piece of paper? Who doesn't have a piece of paper? Who doesn't have a piece of paper? And if we have to share pens to get this done, we'll share pens to get this done. Okay. Okay. Now, unless there's death, power of the resurrection is not going to be complete. Okay? I'm the pastor of a church. I've been pastoring full time for about 38 years in 2 weeks from now. Okay? You'd think I'd have it together. Okay? I've experienced enough of this truth to know it's true. I know I haven't arrived yet, but there's still things I have to put in this paper. I know that for me to really know the power of God like I want to know the power of God, there's going to be things that got to die in my life. Okay? Now, you don't have to write a novel. It might be 3, 4, 5 things. I don't think it needs to be more than 6 if you could summarize. Nobody's going to see this. Don't get nervous, okay? And if I asked to see it, you wouldn't show it to me anyway. Okay? What has to die in your life for Jesus to be Lord of your life? What has to die? Write it down. This is your list. You're not sharing it with anybody, okay? We're going to do something with it, but you're not sharing it. It is confidential. Nobody sees it. What's got to die in your life? I got to know some things. I got some things that got to die right now. My hatred for people that interrupt services. No, no, that's not enough. What has to die? What has to die? Some of you are taking this seriously. And the ones that are, I'm telling you, God's got some powerful stuff in store for you. He really does. Okay? What has to die? Okay, now, Miriam, where are you? Can you come forward? Miriam, every once in a while in our prayer meetings, Miriam breaks out in a tune. Sometimes it's unsettling. Sometimes it's awkward. But every time she does it, I'm telling you, every time she does it, it's like, wow, we need to hear that. Some of you haven't written anything down. Okay? I want what Miriam is singing now. There's the lyrics, and she's going to let it fly. She doesn't need a microphone. She's got a great voice. And you let what God is saying through this song here, you let that influence you. Maybe you got to put a few more things down there, or maybe you just need to pray over this list while she's singing. Go ahead, Brian. Guys that I wanted with the hammers, could you grab your hammers and come to the cross here? Here's what I want you to do. Got a bunch of guys with hammers, and this could take a few minutes because on every strip of leather here is a nail. And what the guys are going to do, as you feel led, you're going to come, you're going to give them your piece of paper with the words face down, okay? With the words face down. And they're going to fill that cross up just like they're going to do with mine right now. And they're going to help you take whatever is holding me back, whatever is stopping me from making Lord Jesus Lord of my life. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to take it with the words facing down, and I'm going to nail it there. And when you're done, when we're done nailing it all, then we're going to have a heck of a prayer. Trust me, okay? Miriam, could you come back and you just sing that chorus again? I'd like you sing it right from there. I'd like you singing that chorus and get up there right now. And just go do it right now. Take that paper and they're going to nail it there. Guys, you're going to have to crowd around the cross. Just a couple taps is going to do it. And then we're going to change the order of service. As soon as you do Miriam's, then Miriam, come on up here. I want you to sing that chorus one more time, okay? And sing it through a couple times while we're doing it. If you want to take somebody else's and nail it up there because they're a little slow or whatever, like Keller or whatever, like whatever you want to do. And then come back and take your seat, okay? Come on up here, Miriam. We need you singing that song. You can overlap, guys. Keep going. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is with me, whatever men may say. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. Sing it if you know it. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Remember this one? Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. There's a line in there that says, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior." And when we were kids, I asked my dad, "Dad, what was he doing lying in gravy?" "Lo, in the grave he lay. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose." Sing it loud. "He arose." That's fun. Hallelujah. "Christ arose." Oh, we had fun with that when we were kids. We'd sing Claude LaRose, Claude LaRose, and we lived in Montreal because he played for the Canadiens. Okay. We're just coming to the end of it. Thank you for doing that. Okay. Now this is what we're going to do after we pray. Just Bob and I. Bob, are you listening? Just Bob and I. We're going to pull all the nails out because every one of those nails is a necklace. Okay. And you're all going to get one because I want you to remember whenever the devil torments you, and whenever he bugs you, hey, that was nailed to the cross. That was nailed to the cross. Jesus has control over that. Are you ready for what? I know we're going over time, but man, you gotta sing this with me, okay? Come on. My sin, I gotta get the right key. My sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. Stand. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Sing this loud. Is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Please close your eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Please. A lot of people here this morning, I don't know. Okay? If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might have even gone through the exercise because you were told to do it, but you didn't really understand it. But and I'm not talking about recommittals now. I'm talking about if you have never given your life to Christ and received Him as Lord and Savior, not baptized, not being brought up in a church, not passing a catechism, but confessing your sins to Christ and having Him come in and change you from the inside out. If you've never done that this morning and you want to do it, oh, I want to pray for you. But you got to do something. I promise I will not embarrass you. We don't center people out here, okay? But I want you to raise your hand right now. If that's you and you want to get it right with God this morning, you've never done that before, you put your hand up right now. Right now. Right now, okay? Nobody looking around, okay? Nobody looking around, okay? I'm going to assume that we're all right with the Lord then. Let's close in prayer now, okay? You're praying with me. Jesus, you know what's on that list. I have nailed it to the cross. Because I believe that you could take my weaknesses and my failures and my sin, and as I cast my care on you, I believe that you can do the work of your Holy Spirit that makes me trust in you enough to follow you, to enough to turn away from that list. And walk in the life that I know you've called me to walk into. Come into my life now in the power of your Holy Spirit. I want the baptism of your Holy Spirit. I want the real thing, God. Would you do it now? My heart is open. And until I know that you've done it, I trust you that you'll anoint me to run hard after you. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want anybody in that corner there because that's confidential stuff. And, you know, Bob knows how, you know what? Bob's the treasurer. And if you can't trust a guy with the finances, you can't trust him with anything, right? So greet everybody. He's risen. I know that's the common greeting. I got an even better one. He is. He is who he is. Okay. He says, I am. He is who he is. Thank God. Hallelujah. Go bless each other and turn each other inside out for Jesus.